No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Dennis. We are your crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information here on Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Dennis, just you and I today. Ed and Keith on hiatus. And I'm just back from family vacation. So where are they? What's going on? What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe is Ed still stuck in the field with the tractor?
You know, he is back. He's back from the harvest. He didn't invite me over for some like big family dinner or anything, but I figured he'd, you know, it'd been long enough time that he'd want to, you know, have some contact. But I guess I was wrong. Next week is a different story, though, because here in Orlando, where we're based out of, we have the National Aviation Business Association. Or wait, National Business Association Aviation NBAA show. We'll go with that. The big business jet show is happening here in Orlando, and both Ed and Keith are going to join me as we broadcast from that event. So you got that to look forward to, and the fact that Ed and Keith and I will get together once again. At least they have threatened as much. So I'm going to hold them to it. But this week, it's just you and I, so we will navigate accordingly. I am back from family vacation, by the way, and I wish I could have done more flying other than the commercial flights that I did, because it was kind of boring, and the rain kind of it didn't really cooperate. But I still had a good visit up north. I actually flew from Orlando up to New York City, and then I hopped on a cruise ship to spend a week watching the leaves change color.
Boy, that sounds exciting, Greg.
Yeah, no, well,
I've got some paint here you can watch dry if you'd like.
It was about as exciting as you would expect it to be. And, you know, when you go on a cruise ship to do that kind of thing at this time of year, it's basically getting on a boat that's kind of like doubles as a retirement home. So God help you if you get behind some of them old folks and you're heading to the buffet. You hear what I'm saying? It's going to take a while. But regardless, I had a good time, and I got a bunch of pictures of me pointing at a yellow leaf, an orange leaf, and a red leaf. And that really was the goal. So, you know, it was a successful way to decompress from doing the show week in and week out. How about that?
Well, maybe you should come up here this weekend, because my wife is threatening to suck it up and go fly with me, because she wants to see the leaves and the color changes up here. So we're trying to kind of plot out where we're going to go and look at it from the air, but my flight will be over in an hour.
Yes.
You had to spend a week.
Well, exactly. And I will tell you, that was too long for a Florida boy like myself. I would prefer a quick shot of the cooler weather. I mean, it was like 60s all week, and that was too cold for me.
Did you pack your parka and your snow pants?
I didn't have a parka, but I did have one of those hats that kind of, you know, that goes over your ears that are real fluffy and nerdy looking.
Yeah, the Floyd R. Turbo mud flap kind,
exactly.
You know, from Johnny Carson.
Exactly. Yeah. So I looked like an aviator in a sense, because they wear those on those open cockpit airplanes, those biplanes, right? So I had one of those hats. So I looked like a nerd hanging around with a bunch of old farts. Or maybe I was a nerd and an old fart. I don't know.
Funny to think that everybody else was older than you, huh?
Shocking, I know. But that appeared to be the case. But regardless, you know, it was a good time. I'm not going to knock it too much. And I did spend some cool time in New York City. And I actually saw one of the Broadway shows, Harry Potter. Not the Harry Potter show, but I saw Daniel Radcliffe, you know, when he came out of his show and got a picture and video with him and all that kind of stuff. And then was James Franco out on the street. Hey, James. I didn't say nothing to him. I looked at him. I gave him the eye. He looked back at me like, oh, please don't come over here.
So he sent his security guards to escort you away?
No, they don't do that in New York City.
No?
They figure that, well, I'll deal with the whack jobs. But he looked like he was busy. But he did give me that look like, please don't come over here. So I didn't. I let him be. But James Franco, an attractive young man, I must say, when you see him in person.
So and did you get to do anything aviation related? Like, did you go to the Intrepid Museum and check out all of the airplanes on display there or something cool like that?
I did not, but I did fly first class on Delta, and they did a pretty good job. I'll give them two fins up or two thumbs up for their service up to LaGuardia. LaGuardia is going through a big makeover on their airport, by the way, too. And it's actually, it's looking pretty good. I mean, you know, I was on one of the new Delta wings at LGA, and I got to give them credit. I mean, that airport like 5-6 years ago was really looking long in the tooth. Have you ever flown in there, Dennis?
I have not. I've only gone into Newark.
Yeah, Newark, obviously very new and very modern, has all the amenities you would expect, but LaGuardia has been there forever, and I mean, it was starting to really look a little rough around the edges in the older terminals. You get in there, and it's like, whoa, hello. But they're going through a renaissance, so to speak, I guess. I don't know. They're planning a big whole expansion, and it's ongoing. But I was in one of the newer terminals. It was pretty nice. Nice places to eat, hang out, and stuff like that. So it was a good visit. And then we hopped on the boat with all the old folks and cruised up the coast to Canada.
Eh?
Yeah. So, you know, I got my fill of, you know, leaves that were changing color, toques, and back bacon. There were also some donuts involved in this visit.
And some metric beers.
Yeah, they had some of those. I kind of avoided those. But it was, you know, like I said, for what it was, outside of flying airplanes, it was okay. But I think that would be the way to go. I mean, if you want to have a great visit, I mean, I don't know, what's the weather like in Minnesota where you are right now? Is it in the 60s averaging day to day right now or what?
I wish. Colder? It's actually been colder. Yeah. And actually for the last week, it has been ceilings below 800 feet and visibilities of about less than a mile. Mm. It's not even weather for ducks. They're walking, not flying.
Okay. But the leaves are very colorful there, I guess,
oh,
right
yes.
now, right?
They're in full color right now.
See,
so
now in New York City, their leaves hadn't quite changed yet. They've had a warm fall so far.
Well, and they're also farther south from us, so that they're going to be a few weeks behind, you know, Minnesota as far
right.
as when the season change is over.
But we cruised up to Halifax. By the time we got up to that neck of the woods, I mean, we saw all the color we needed to see as far as I was concerned. You know, after I saw my first yellow leaf, that was probably about it for me. But you know, if you want to go see a bunch of different colors, I mean, you had to go, you know, at least that far. But in Minnesota, you already have them. So you have the,
yep.
all the oranges and ambers and reds
and, reds
and everything.
Yep.
Yeah. So are you going to do it? Are you going to fly the wifey around? And that's, yep. you know, she actually instigated this thing?
It was her suggestion. So, yeah, we're definitely going to go do it. And we're trying to think where some of the cool places might be. And I'm thinking I might head towards southeast Minnesota, like into the St. Croix River area, which is a national preserve, so that we can, you know, kind of see some of the unspoiled wilderness and, you know, fly along the river and really kind of take it in. I'm
yeah.
going to take advantage of it.
Well, my advice would be fly to an area where there's a lot of trees.
Well, that's Minnesota in general.
Okay. All right. So that's all you have to do to see all the colors. But that would be so cool to do it in your airplane because you don't have to, you know, right now if you do one of those leave tour things, God forbid you have to get on a cruise ship like I did. But if you drive around, you know, these places in the U.S. where you can do that kind of stuff, like it's the Smoky Mountains or whatever, I mean, it's like the traffic's insane.
Or you get on the bus tours with it and you're, you know, packed like sardines and trying to look out the window on a Greyhound bus.
Right. And I would imagine that'd be the same clientele that I experienced on the cruise ship.
Exactly the same. Yep.
Yeah.
Walker is required.
Small tube, yeah, confined space, gassy.
Oxygen cylinders are extra.
Yeah.
Yep.
You'd need them, trust me. Yeah, but that does sound like the ultimate way to see the leaves change. And you know, and I kid. And it is kind of an old farty kind of thing to admit that you've done. It's like admitting that you like Taylor Swift or something. I don't know. But it is kind of cool to see. The scenery is pretty spectacular when you see the big valleys of all these colors and mountains and stuff. I mean, it was pretty picturesque. I will admit that. But in an airplane, that would make it cool. It's kind of like, it's a manly thing to say that I'm going to go watch the colors change on the leaves in my airplane. I'm flying my airplane to do that. You know what I'm saying? It gives you you don't get your man card taken away. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, especially not when your wife tells you that that's what she wants to go do.
Well, true. Okay,
yes, dear. Let's go do that. Any excuse to go fly the airplane, but we don't have to tell her that.
Actually, she is the one holding the card. Am I correct?
No, I got the certificate.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we're talking about this. I'm talking about your man card.
Oh, the man card. Yeah.
She has that.
That was turned in 20 years ago.
It's not a card anymore. It's just an appendage or something. Who knows? We'll leave that one alone. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Need to replace that old Garmin? Need a new GPS for your plane? No matter what you fly, Avidyne has you covered. Since 1994, Avidyne's been a market leader in the design of intuitive displays in avionics. The mission has always been to use innovative technology to improve safety and increase aircraft utility. Go to Avidyne.com to find a dealer in the solution for you. That's AVIDYNE.com or call 1-800-AVIDYNE. Avidyne, for pilots that know the difference.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
$6 in my right nut says we're not landing in Chicago.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Dennis. We are your crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. We just kind of rambled the first segment about what I did on fall vacation. I'll call it that. So let's move on to more substantial stuff in the airplane or aviation world. Now, you were actually supposed to go to the AOPA fly-in in Carbondale while I was away. Is that right?
Yeah, and I was really disappointed that I was not able to make it. But yeah. As we kind of alluded to, the weather here in Minneapolis, well, actually in the Midwest, has been just absolutely garbage for the last week or more.
Yeah. So that kept you from getting over to the fly-in from Minnesota, but that did not affect the success of the event itself, I hear. I hear they had 7,000 people or some crazy, I don't know. It was a lot of airplanes, a couple hundred airplanes, and they had some big announcements that came out of this thing. Did you see that?
I did. I saw Tom Haines broke a news story about the FAA looking at increasing the weight limits for light sport aircraft.
Nice.
Currently, it's limited to about 1,300 pounds for a land-based airplane, and they're looking at increasing that to 3,600 pounds, which puts it into, you know, Piper Saratoga Cherokee 6 category. That's a lot of airplane.
That's a 172. That's what I learned to fly.
And then some. Yeah.
So, I mean, where do you think they're going with this? Just to make it more accessible, period, and there's no reason to have that weight restriction on it? Or what do you think?
Well, you know, my guess here is twofold. One, you know, there's a lot of restrictions to try to meet that 1,300-pound weight limit on these light sport airplanes. And they're finding that the accidents statistics are a lot higher than they expected. These airplanes are so light, they get tossed around very easily. They're affected by wind gusts a lot more than they, you know, than they should. So that's one consideration. Two, it would open up more of the existing fleet to be flown as an LSA or flown with LSA privileges, where you have the driver's license medical instead of even needing basic med. Mm-hmm. So that potentially could get a lot more pilots in the air. It would open up a lot more innovation, because light sport aircraft is not doesn't have to go through the Part 23 certification. So it might allow for more innovative, more cutting edge technology into the cockpits and into new airplane designs if they're not held back by some of the older regulations and testing standards.
Yes. Well, and that is only a good thing if you want to be a pilot.
I see just nothing but positive coming out of this, really.
Yeah. And the statistics, the safety statistics, probably are backing up the fact of what you just said. That the fact that it's a lighter aircraft doesn't really help as far as safety. So if they're, you know, seeing that in the numbers, maybe they can push this through and that'll help.
Yeah, and they've already had to waiver, you know, a number of aircraft, like the Icon A5 got some waivers for additional weight for safety enhancements. Same with the Terrafugia flying car.
Right.
They had to petition to get a higher weight for the LSA limits to be able to incorporate some of the road safety required stuff for them to be able to drive on the streets.
Yeah. So, well, that Terrafugia thing, they're actually supposedly taking orders on that flying car, they say, this month. Did you see that?
I've heard that they're making progress on it.
Yeah, they're talking about doing that sometime real soon, taking orders on the Terrafugia and debuting a new TF2, like a new model, I guess. And maybe we'll see that next week at the NBAA show. Who knows? But I have a feeling we'll learn more about what they got up their sleeve here very soon.
Our Jetsons flying cars are going to finally get here.
They are coming. With China's backing, isn't China be like an owner of that company or something?
I do believe they either invested or bought them outright.
Yeah. Yes. So, hopefully that's we'll see what happens with that. If Trump will allow it, it'll be okay, I guess.
I think it's already happened, so it really doesn't matter.
Well, true. Yeah. I mean, but, you know. See if there's any other roadblocks put in the way. Hey, a couple other things we were talking about at the Carbondale fly-in, and we'll get more details on this. Like I said, we're going to have Tom Haynes on the show next week from the NBAA show, ideally as well. He's promised to join Keith and I at the show and Ed. But FAA authorization, the budget, has been approved for 5 years, so now the FAA is good. They got all, you know, a bipartisan bill passed and everything's good to go. You saw that too, right? They were talking about that.
Now we got 5 years of funding, so now the FAA can actually make plans to do some large infrastructure projects instead of wondering if they're going to get the money from year to year to get some of this stuff done.
Right.
Maybe we'll start to see, you know, more accelerated adoption of some of these initiatives that they have, you know, an expansion of ADS-B. Who knows? A lot of things are being held back on the next gen project because of funding.
Yeah. Well, and that's without going private, without privatization. Right. So we're good for 5 years, and GA has been saved.
Don't let up, because you know that they'll try to sneak something in.
Oh, sure.
So we have to keep vigilance.
Yeah. But hopefully we at least have a 5-year reprieve for now. And before we got to start fighting that battle again, I'm sure it'll happen sooner, but you know what I mean. The other big news that came out of Carbondale, and this was huge, and I mean that, you know, connecting the dots with the Trump thing and stuff too, but they announced that ADS-B rebates are coming back. Now, they expired, what, like 6 months ago or something, didn't they, or a few months ago?
The deadline was like the first of the year, and yeah. I got my airplane done just in the nick of time to claim the rebate.
So supposedly they're bringing them back. Now, I'm not sure if they've set the dates for this, but they Mark Baker from AOPA made the announcement at the Carbondale fly-in that he's been talking to the folks at the FAA and that they are going to put the rebate program back in action here pretty soon or something, and allow pilots to get a $500 rebate on their ADS-B install that they have to have in place by 2020.
Brilliant on the FAA's part, because when they originally passed that, they set aside $10 million to do, 20,000 airplanes at $500 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an adoption of maybe 7,000 or 8,000 people that actually claimed that. So the money was allocated and was sitting there. So what can they do with it? You can't exactly put it back into the coffer, right?
Right.
They got to spend it. And so I think it's great that they're giving another round. And now that, you know, there's been so many new products introduced and so many alternate ways to comply with ADS-B, hopefully maybe more people will take them up on that offer and we'll see more people equipped, because I sure enjoy looking down at the iPad and seeing traffic and getting call outs from ForeFlight and you know, giving that extra vigilance. So the more people that would comply and equip will make it safer for all of us.
True. Yeah. So if you've procrastinated, unlike Dennis and some other people that we featured on the show last year or two, you're back in the seat there. You're back on the horse. You can take advantage of that $500 rebate. Now, just go to AOPA.org and get the latest information on that. I'm not sure, like I said, if the dates have been set when they're going to do that. But that's big news. It's positive for the industry. And who doesn't want to save $500? That's a couple $100 hamburgers. Well, that's five, right? $500 hamburgers. More coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, and Captain Dennis rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so we've covered a bunch of stuff that was announced at the Carbondale AOPA fly-in. Good stuff. Great for the industry. And I can't think of anything else to say more positive about it. It was massive. That was some great stuff that they announced at the event. So hats off to AOPA for making all that stuff and spearheading that for the industry. And then, basking in the glory of the announcement at the event, despite the fact Captain Dennis didn't make it to the fly-in. Because that would have been the icing on the cake. But you got... not snowed in, but just weathered in, or
we were weathered in. I mean, I was looking and watching the weather, and the ceilings were less than 800 feet from Minneapolis to St. Louis. And, you know, that was 90% of the route. And so if anything were to go wrong, you'd be in a real bad situation trying to get in low weather. And it wasn't worth the risk. It was one of those decisions where, you know what, this is exceeding my personal minimums and I'm just not willing to take the risk. And I think AOPA will forgive me for not coming down, and we'll just have to hope that the weather improves and that the hurricane doesn't do too much damage to Gulf Shores.
True. Yeah, we'll make
another attempt.
Yes. Well, we'll know more about that next week for sure, too. But yeah, we are thinking about those folks today. But on the another announcement, I guess this came out of they talked about this at the pancake breakfast there at the fly-in too. Was the examiners, you can now interface with them directly and schedule things, just like you had to do a few weeks ago for your commercial cert, right?
Right. For a commercial, private, instrument, all of that, the applicant was free to go ahead and just call a designated examiner and set up an appointment with them, and you get to choose who you want to fly with. But for flight instructor candidates, you always had to go through the local FISDO office. And the FISDO would either fly with you themselves, or if they were too busy, they would assign you to a designated examiner. And so there was a lot of delays involved in that. So they've cut the middleman out. You can go straight to your examiner now.
Gotta love that. All good news. And we have some more, well, I don't know if it's good, but definitely twisted aviation news to cover next. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Captain, cabin's ready and doors are closed.
All right, gentlemen. It's time to get high. And also fly this old bird. Just a little captain's joke. I never get high when I'm flying unless I mistime the edible. Another captain's joke.
Don't you want to get away to a whole new part you're gonna play? Cause like, oh, damn, suddenly we're free to fly. We're going to the other side.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis. We are navigating the latest aviation news and information. And, all right, so we got a couple stories about drones that we got to talk about for sure. Big viral video that made its way through many channels, social media channels this last week that is, scary and entertaining at the same time. But before we get to that, you wanted to ask me or something about this about working out in airplanes. Is that what it was, Dennis? What are you
talking
about?
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that you're flying on Delta, because a story came out about a week or two ago while you were off on your trip about an American Airlines flight that had to be diverted because the passenger would not stop doing pull-ups on the overhead luggage bins.
That's dedication.
And I thought for sure that was Greg getting his workout in.
Yeah, I saw that story. He really wasn't working out as much as he was drunk.
Well, and, like I said...
Oh, well, yeah, good point. Yeah, but no, I've kind of curtailed my drinking lately. Yeah, I mean, hell, I'm going on cruises to watch leaves change color. What do you? What's
well,
going
I thought
on?
You were going on cruises to drink, because don't they have the open bars? And
yeah, they do, but they charge a ridiculous amount of money for that. But anyway, so this story is pretty funny.
I mean, can you imagine the crew? You know, here's a guy doing pull-ups on the...
From what I saw... He was blocking the aisle, and some guy came up behind him like, hey, what are you going to do? Are you going to get out of the way or do, like, pull-ups or something? And he made a smart-ass comment to the guy who was blocking the aisle from what I read. And so he started doing pull-ups with on the baggage upper, you know, baggage compartments. And, all hell broke loose, and they told him to sit down, and it took him 3 or 4 times for the flight attendant to tell him to sit down. He finally did. And then you would think at that point, they're like, we got a problem flyer here. Oh, what should we do next? Well, he wants some drinks. Give him some drinks.
No, at that point, you duct tape him to his seat. And
you would think.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, what's the threshold when you have a unruly passenger already and then he wants
to
start
what
drinking?
What airline are we on?
Well, American, evidently, they want to get you liquored up with the idea that you'll pass out. In this case, he started drinking and got more crazy, and they had to literally land the airplane. They had to divert to get him off the airplane, and he, I guess he was arrested or taken off in cuffs, but I don't know. They said no file or
no charges.
No charges, which is kind of surprising to me. I would
You would think interfering with a flight crew or something that they would charge him with drunken disorderly,
Yeah. Well, if it got to the point where you had to divert the airplane, I would expect as one of the other passengers, please throw that guy in jail.
All of the late fees and misconnection costs, he gets to pay that.
Yeah, it got him an hour and a half late to their final destination, which actually is pretty good. Considering that they had to, stop.
For some airlines, that's on time.
Good point. I'm not going to say anything about American, it's just kind of a bizarre story when you have those kind of problem issues. I mean, I'm not about, arresting anybody unnecessarily, and maybe he had some other issues, which I'm guessing maybe he did. You know, it might, maybe there was some other psychological thing going on or something, because that obviously isn't normal behavior, even for me. So I would, but still, as one of the other passengers on the airplane, I mean, wouldn't you be like, please get this guy off the airplane, throw him in jail, give us all a free round of drinks or something? I mean, how annoying would that have to be? That's worse than getting caught between two fat people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. I don't understand what people think. You know, it's a bus in the sky, and how people think that they can just do whatever they want and get away with it when you're crammed in a tube like that, I don't understand.
It's a little obnoxious, but I don't know. But it wasn't me.
Can we go back to the 50s when flying was a social event and people dressed up and behaved like you know,
yeah, it used to be a thing. It used to be like, you know, hey, what are you doing? I'm going on a flight. Whoa, really? Look at you, Mr. Successful. Yeah, it's not like that no more. Not so much. It's just a necessity that a lot of people have to do for their work. And, yeah, it kind of takes the fun out of flying, for sure. But, you know, it is what it is, and we'll have to move on until the drones. We all have our own private flying drones. And we can just, you know, open up our app and say, hey, take me to New York. And it'll
Alexa,
just pick us up.
Take me to, right?
Yeah, it'll like come down and grab with its claws, kind of like a, you know, an eagle or something, and just pick us up and fly us off to wherever we want. It's coming. Whether you like
depending
it
on the airline, it's not far off, right?
Yeah, hopefully they'll be able to figure out a way to make sure there are they can keep those two user groups separated, because the video that went viral this last week, oh my gosh, that was a real eye opener, wasn't it? Would you agree with me on this, Dennis?
I would agree, because you know, a lot of people have gone, well, what's the big deal with drones and airplanes? You know, why are you making such a big deal about it? And so for somebody to finally go and do an actual study and show what can happen when an airliner is flying at 250 miles an hour and hits a consumer drone, it does a lot more damage than you'd think.
Right. You know, and I remember talking about this like 3 years ago. And Ed and Keith, you know, who run the flight school, I said, look, I'm trying to learn how to fly my airplane, and now we got these drones I'm going to have to look out for, too, is on top of birds. You know, bird strikes are bad enough, you know, kind of thing that, like, God forbid you ever have to go through a bird strike. I've seen the videos and pictures, and I don't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah, but now the bird is at least soft and fleshy. I mean, well, you're talking a piece of hard plastic with, you know, solid metal motors and...
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, Ed put my mind at ease because he said, look, he goes, bird strikes way worse. These drones, they don't weigh nothing. They're just going to be shattered in a million pieces when they hit an airplane. Forget about it. That's kind of what his attitude was until he saw this video. And then he emailed it to me. He says, maybe I didn't think this one through quite as well as I thought I did. Because
what they didn't cover in that video either was where they hit the wing. If it was like a Piper Cherokee or something like that, you have the fuel tank. Or in the case of my Mooney, I don't have a tank. The wing is the tank.
Right.
So that thing would have blown all the way through right into the fuel. And you think there might be some sparks from the battery pack in there?
Mm.
That could make things real interesting real fast.
I mean, the plane that they show on this video is not a big plane. I mean, it looked like a small GA type of aircraft. I don't know what it was offhand. But it didn't look much different than a 182 or something to me. Am I right? Or it wasn't like a commercial airliner, was it?
No, I don't remember if it was a small biz jet or like a Pilatus, but I think that the airspeed was 250 miles an hour.
Well,
so
okay.
That's a little bit above what the Mooney will do, but still, there's a lot of energy there.
Yes.
And the fact that it went clean through the leading edge of the wing all the way to the spar and bent the spar,
mm-hmm.
That's a lot of damage.
Right. And then they showed, like, look, if this would have been a bird, here's what would have happened. And I was like, oh, my God, they're going to blow up a bird? This is cool. No, they actually had this gooey ball of stuff that simulated a bird, and they threw that at the airplane. And it still messed up the wing a little bit, but not. It kind of, the bird goo kind of dispersed over the wing as much as penetrating through it, which they had a DJI. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it looked like a DJI Phantom. You know,
yeah,
something,
that's what they use.
Common
and
consumer.
That thing literally penetrated the wing structure. Like you said, it created a hole in the leading edge of the wing. I was like, what? Oh my gosh, that would not be good. Because, yeah, like I said, not only the fire thing, but it penetrated it enough. If it would have been going much faster, couldn't it like have sheared off the entire wing almost, or would it?
Well, the spar is the thickest part of the wing. You know, it's kind of like an I-beam that runs through. But, you know, for it to dent it and, you know, with that kind of damage, how much wind is now grabbing onto that sheet metal and ripping and tearing stuff away, you know, while you're still trying to land? You know, it's definitely not good. I don't think I'd want to see what the, you know, if they were to test this in flight, I wouldn't want to be on the plane while they're doing it.
No, I don't think they have any plans to do that anytime soon. Amazingly, it has not happened yet. That we know of, which is shocking when you think about all the potential or close calls that we have heard about. But to see that something major like that hasn't happened yet is pretty remarkable. But I don't know. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. But as much as we know about it, maybe there's ways we can continue to try to avoid it. Scary scenario. Check out the video on YouTube. You can Google it. You can find it out there. Makes you think. But we'll focus on more positive stuff, like just flying your airplane and getting more certificates next. Stay close to Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan. Spread your wings and fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Dennis. We are your crew, but we are now joined by his daughter, Abby, who has just got another certification under her belt. She is now certified as a private glider pilot. Is that right, Abby?
Not really. I'm just a solo student right now.
Oh, a solo. Okay, well, then you don't have a certificate or nothing. I was totally wrong.
Well, I have my student pilot certificate, if that means anything.
No, it doesn't. No, it does. It actually means a lot. Okay, so let's get this straight then. You've soloed for the first time in your glider, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And you are how old?
I am 15.
15. You've done this, and how far will it be, or how many more flights do you got to do solo-wise before you actually get your full glider certificate?
I have a few things left to knock off my list, and hopefully by next year when I'm the age requirement, I'll be able to get my license next year.
That age will be what?
16.
So you just got to be 16, then you can have your glider pilot certificate on top of your student pilot. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct. And hopefully this winter I'll be able to start on my 16th birthday. I might be able to solo a power plane.
Nice. All right, so you're doing this with the... with my help, my assistance, I am your motivation because you want to eclipse me in my flight training and just to make yourself feel better about yourself, right?
Well, not want, I already have.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Wow.
She's starting to flip this on me already. I didn't expect it to go that quickly, Dennis.
Well, I thought she was going to lead right off, you know, but yeah. She held back a little bit.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You know, like father. Yeah, I gotcha.
Oh, I remember you getting out of the glider. You knew I was going to send a picture to Greg right away.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I got it while I was up on this cruise ship with a bunch of old folks looking at leaves. But I just looked at it and I'm like, oh! But I'm happy for you. I am. That's quite an accomplishment. I mean, to get your first solo in a glider like that. Have you told all your friends? Are you like the envy of all your friends?
They don't really understand planes. They're kind of like, cool, I don't know what you're talking about.
Really? You have no clue? They don't understand how big a deal this really is?
No, not until I took 10 minutes explaining to them what I did. They were like, oh man.
What, are you crazy? That kind of thing?
I tell people I'm towed up on a rope by another plane that's about the size of my pinky, they kind of get terrified why I'm doing this.
Right. And you say, hey, I'll take you up anytime. Just let me know.
Yeah, I get a no thanks.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Okay, but how was it? So what was it like to go on your first solo flight? I mean, was it different than, was that your first solo flight, period?
Yeah, my first ever.
Wow. So, I mean, tell me about your first time flying.
Well, when I started off, my instructor got really confused because he's like, how about you do this by yourself? And I was really confused. I didn't realize he meant he wanted me to solo.
Yeah.
So then after I got past that, my dad pushed me into doing the solo because I had the option to do it or not. And he was like, just do it. You're going to talk yourself out of it. And he's right.
Yeah.
So I got in the plane. I started doing my pre-flight checklist. And then I looked over at the kid that flies with me. And he gave me a big thumbs up. And it was like, because I've been training with him. So he was like really happy for me too. And everyone there was. And then once I got in the glider, I was like doing my pre-flight checklist. And then I gave them the go. Told the tow pilot to take me up, and once I got off the ground, I was like, okay, well, there's no going back.
So well, there is a way to go back, but probably not the way you want to.
No, because it's corn or nothing. So
right.
I pulled up, went up to almost the clouds because we only had about 800 feet I could go up, and then I had to release because of the clouds that day.
Yeah.
And then it was basically just fly pattern. So I just flew the pattern, landed, and it went pretty well.
Yeah.
Put in a mask for a better day.
How about that? So you just did it once, or do you got to do this a few times now, or what?
So the first time, I only got cleared to solo for the first day. And then when I go back, they're going to solo me again for just the day. So I'll fly with an instructor, and they'll say if I'm ready to solo that day or not. And then if they think I am, they'll give me an endorsement to solo for that day only. And then the third time, if they solo me again and think I'm ready, then I basically just, I can fly solo the rest of the season.
Wow, that is so cool. So did you do it long enough to really soak it in, or were you so, you know, entrenched in the moment, like, oh my God, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to make sure I'm monitoring this, and that you didn't have an opportunity to really look out the window and go, oh my God, I'm flying solo? I mean, did you have that moment or what?
Solo kids do get that because they tow up to 3,000 feet. I got about 800 feet because of the ceilings that day. But still, I was having a blast when I turned base. I was like, oh, look, there's a bunch of cows. So I was having some fun while trying to land and stuff. And getting almost to the airport, I was like, my hands were everywhere in the plane. I was like controlling the air brakes. I was like making sure my airspeed was right. I was trying to slip to counteract the wind. And then, like, my dad was like, that looks beautiful. It didn't look like I have any complications. And I was like actually like eternally screaming in there trying to land.
Yes, you were talking to yourself out loud, huh?
The way she described it, it sounded like an octopus, you know, running all the levers inside. But from us outside watching her, It was a picture perfect landing.
Yeah, she looked like a master. I love it. Yep. So, but I'm a little confused when you're up there and you're looking around and you're saying, oh no, cows. What do you mean, cows? Like you
the
didn't
cows,
have
cows. Like there's cows in, from a farm. I was just looking at them.
Oh, okay. You didn't have to avoid them on the runway or nothing like that.
No, I was just having fun looking at stuff because like this is the first time I didn't have an instructor down my neck.
Right. So you're like, okay, I'm gonna look around. I don't care what. And you can't yell at me now. Yeah. So yeah. So you got to soak it in a little bit, just not long enough. I mean, to fly that pattern, how long were you up there, you figure? Couldn't have been more than a couple minutes, I'm guessing, right?
I think like less than 10 minutes.
Well, still. But you got enough of a taste that you're ready to do it again, it sounds like.
Yeah, hopefully. But this time it's going to be a 3,000-foot tow, so let's hope I don't get lost from the runway because I don't have your snazzy GPSs.
I'll be more than happy to let you borrow mine. Pull out your iPhone. That'll work. Won't it?
That's what I told her to
do. Yes, there you go. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far, cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.